Blog Talk Radio.
You are listening to At Home with Victoria, a news and entertainment show on the Blog Talk Radio Network with your host and TV journalist, Victoria Gaither, and entertainment co-host, Michael Kay. Now, here's Victoria.
Well, a very good evening or afternoon for those of you that are listening to At Home with Victoria tonight. I want to thank you so much, as always, for taking the time to be here, to listen to the show, to get some really good information, and also to learn something as well. I am Victoria Gaither, TV journalist, as well as your host of At Home with Victoria. And we have a young lady who I met on Facebook through a friend of a friend of a friend. You guys know how that goes. And Lisa is somebody who is really out there on the forefront when it comes to taking care of not only her own child, and you'll understand why I said that in a moment, but also she's someone who started a nonprofit organization in order to not only, like I said, help her own child, but to also help other children and other children who deal with auto-inflammatory diseases. And that's what we're going to talk about tonight. Lisa Dickerson is her name, and she is joining us tonight on the show. I'm very excited to have her on here because we're not only going to talk about her nonprofit organization, what you can do to help, but also she's got a wonderful event that is coming up at the Ritz-Carlton in Philadelphia in February. We're going to talk a little bit about that. And also she has a couple of exclusives that she's going to talk to us about tonight on the show as well. So I'm just really, really excited to have her here. Lisa, I'm so glad that you were able to clear your busy schedule and to be with us tonight on At Home with Victoria.
Oh, well, I'm thrilled and honored, Victoria. So thank you for having me on. I look forward to having you and now me being on to announce the three new projects that haven't been unveiled yet. So I look forward to being able to do it on your show.
Well, let's first of all talk, tell us the name of your nonprofit organization and just a little bit about it, you know, for, I know some of our followers and people that listen to At Home with Victoria, I've been talking about you and have been posting on our Facebook wall, but there are some people who may not know. So tell us a little bit about it.
Well, first of all, my son Brody, who's almost 3 years old, as most people know, with the foundation, which is called Stop CADE Now, and I coined CADE to cover all childhood autoinflammatory diseases because Brody, my son, was diagnosed with Blau syndrome. And Blau syndrome is a rare genetic disease, and it's where the protein in his body doesn't work correctly, and it causes granulomas. And the granulomas are formed because it's a way for his immune system to encapsulate pathogens and foreign objects that it can't eradicate. This is throughout his body, and it leads to painful inflammation and problems with his organs, nerves, and brain. When Brody was finally diagnosed, I looked at him, and I was about to go back and work with the police department, which I had done previously. And I knew that he was taking, we were now giving him interleukin-1 injections daily and over adult dose of injections daily. And I thought, oh, my God, how can I go back to work when we don't have a prognosis for Brody? And when I made a promise to Brody to help find a cure for his disease, I knew with my will and determination that I was able to do it for all children, and that's what I wanted to do. So that's why I started Stop CADE Now, to help all children who suffer from childhood autoinflammatory diseases, and we cover 29 diseases. And we've just come on a year of the foundation being established.
Well, and I have to tell you, of course, for me, and that's one thing I love about being a journalist, I get to meet and talk to different kind of people. So Stop CADE was also an education for me because when I looked at your website, and speaking of the website, we do have that information on my webpage as well as inside the chat room. It's www.stopcadenow.org, and I'll say that again. I probably ran through it really fast, but I was, Lisa, so surprised by that entire list of diseases that actually fall under that. That was incredible.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, we do cover. I got to tell you, there are a lot of children out there, and the diseases range from those who don't make it past 2 years old, those who are bound to a wheelchair, those who live in chronic pain, and those who, like Brody, don't have a prognosis. And as much as I'm doing, and I will say that what we've done in the year, and I will go through the projects that we've accomplished and then tell you about the three that we have that are set and on their way, that's really, one of them is monumental. You just can't go fast enough. These children, as the families know, you know, I'll get emails. I mean, I got a call from somebody internationally at 3 o'clock in the morning one time, how much pain their child was in, and it's incredible. I just can't go fast enough or do enough. But we're going forward, and we have a lot of things that are helping and to look forward to. And we've only been on a year, so I look forward to what my goal is in 5 years. Hopefully will be a 3-year mark, but it's really important for people to understand how critical these diseases are for these children. And we do. We as I said, we cover 29, but we cover any autoinflammatory diseases that affect children.
I just wanted to take you back to that moment when you. When you and your family receive the diagnosis, and you as a parent, I mean, do you ever kind of go through that, you know, how could this happen to me? And I know with your personality, you mentioned that you are one that just basically, you know, take the bulls by the horn and do what you've got to do because that's your kid and you're going to do what you need to do. But did you ever go through any of that why me?
Never. No. I mean, actually, you know, I never say why me to anything because actually I'm glad it was me because, you know, if God knows me really well, then he knows that I was able to handle and do what I could do for the children. And I'm glad it was me and not somebody who couldn't handle it. And so I feel fortunate that I was able to be in this situation. However, nobody wants to see their child in pain. I don't think it was the time that Brody was diagnosed that had me break down for the moment. The diagnosis gives you a name, but it doesn't take away, and it really, it's a name. It really doesn't give you much but that, and we had already dealt with so much and we still don't have a prognosis. So I would say that some horrific moments were prior to that, and the diagnosis was actually a relief because then we knew that we could at least start a treatment. But more of the horrific moments was, which has been noted in a couple of articles and my story with Brody, is having 3 doctors and 2 nurses look at you when your child is screaming in pain. And I was holding him, and I'll never forget their faces. And you're in a hospital, and they can't help you. And I got to tell you, that was the time I think I just completely turned off and knew that I had to become an advocate for Brody. And then I've had some other horrific moments with Brody. And I would say that, you know, when I kiss him goodnight, however, he couldn't really sleep through the night, and we the medication that he's on right now is questionable. We might have to change to infusion. Mm-hmm. So his evenings still aren't great. But, you know, I don't kiss him goodnight thinking that tomorrow won't come. However, there's not that freedom of knowing, you know, is he going to play football when he is, you know, and nobody has that certainty in life. However, there is a tugging at your heart when you know that your child's in pain and they're looking at you for the answers. And when you can't hand it to them, I got to say it's a pretty difficult situation. But no, I've never said why me. No, not at all.
Yeah. Well, and like I said, I had the chance to speak with you before. So one thing that I do know about you is that your personality is somebody who is tough And certainly, you know, you're not the type of woman who will take anything sitting down or lying down. So that is absolutely wonderful. But let's talk a little bit about the website. I love the website. Now, first of all, just
Thank
from
you.
A journalist point of view, it's very user-friendly. I
Thank
like
you.
It because, you know, it's really bright. I like that you talk about your mission, the events, the board members. But what I really want to talk about as you talk about the website is the first book that you published on this issue.
Mm-hmm. Yes, thank you. The book is called A Hero in Me, and it was thought about because my oldest, Aiden, had kept asking if Brody was going to die, and it made me realize that there needed to be a book that explained to the children in a layman's term about these diseases, and also to be written well enough that would be educational for the parents and the medical field. What I also wanted to do is make sure that it was also appreciated by those who aren't affected by CAIDS, by a childhood autoinflammatory disease, that they would understand it and realize that these children, they might be different, but we're all one. That they could relate, that they could understand. And so I actually had written the book, and it's coming out in a couple of different languages, and we are having a book signing at one of the hospitals in Philadelphia, Lehigh Valley Hospital, in February. But the book was very important because, as I had stated before, is that I want no stone left unturned, and that's focusing on the families and the children, the doctors, you know, the community. And this, to me, was something to give back to the children who are affected by CAIDS, as well as the community, for them to understand it better. And I've been really fortunate in the reviews that it's had. It's done well, and I'm proud about that, because it's helped a lot of families, children, and those who aren't familiar with CAIDS really get a better understanding of it. So I'm glad that it was done.
And I certainly have to agree with you on that, because I know a lot of times, and right now as you were talking about your eldest son wanting to know if Brody was going to die, I know kids are very inquisitive. They always have a million questions, and I think about my own niece and nephew, who clearly, if they saw a kid who was sick and, you know, perhaps her parents discussing the illness, that would be a question that, like, a kid will have, you know, is the person going to die? Are they going to live? So it is really important that you have a book in terms of information that a kid can understand, when you can sit down and actually have a discussion in sort of kid-friendly terms, as you will, to talk to them about something like that, because they probably have fears and questions and concerns, and that's really good, I think, for them to actually get that, to get that information out. Now, should we drop one of the exclusives that we're going to talk about, or you want to hold off on that for a little bit? You've got so many of them, Lisa.
Yeah, I am, like, biting at the bits to tell everybody about them. They're very fitting. Why don't I start off and just, I'm going to brief everybody who's on about the projects that we already have, that we've already accomplished, and then I'll introduce the three, if you don't mind. Is that okay?
Absolutely. That's perfect. Go for it. Sounds good to me.
Okay. Okay, well, the first project, which most people are familiar with, is that it was essential for me to, partner with the Cleveland Clinic and develop a continued medical education program, which is the first medical educational program for CAIDS, which is essential to have the doctors educated about it in order to make proper diagnoses. So that was the first project. I didn't want anybody to ever go through what I went through with Brody, and I couldn't get upset with the doctors for not understanding, for not knowing how to help him or myself when the tools were not provided. So that was my big, big goal, is to get the doctors educated. So we have partnered with the Cleveland Clinic, and actually Brody was in a PET scan, and I met with the the director of the CME and planned it out. And the modules in the CME is incredibly well done, and I'm very, very excited about it. SUPCADE now is only responsible for the initial funding of it, and then the Cleveland Clinic is taking care of the rest. I will always have, for those who want to donate to SUPCADE now, I will always have an ongoing educational conference, educational programs running through the Cleveland Clinic. We have recently partnered with Children's Hospital of Philadelphia, and those will be specific with research projects that are going on with the different diseases of childhood autoinflammatory diseases. And I'm very excited about that partnership and meeting with some of the researchers in about a week or two. The Hero and Me we spoke about, which is the storybook. We have a patent vaccine that we're working with Georgetown University, who one of our physicians who is on board had created this vaccine, which has been patented, and it's very exciting. We're going to start clinical trials on that, which is going to be great. I can't tell you how thrilled I am about that. We have recently, we're interviewing and bringing on a licensed psychologist to help the psychological issues that can come about with chronic illnesses or terminal illnesses within the families. This past year, we did have a very successful golf tournament, which we raised $65,000, which the money went towards the CME. Mm-hmm. One of the things that with the CME was one of the first things I had done, and also the Hero Awards. And the Hero Awards, if you don't know what they are, I don't know if you've seen the pictures of the kids holding these glass awards and they light up. That was very important for me. As I said, I wanted to be the voice for the doctors and be the voice for the families and the children. And the children go through so much. And as I said, some of them are in wheelchairs, some of them are in pain, so they're not playing sports. So I wanted to give them an award for being a true hero for enduring the pain that they do. And like Brody's shots, I mean, I have to hold his arm straight. My husband gives him the two injections. It's probably, and it's not a long time. It's probably about a minute, 2 minutes out of our lives. But it's horrible. It really is to hear him cry like that and know. And also, interleukin-1 is like a steroid, so it's a very burning sensation, and he gets 200 milligrams. So the Hero Awards I've given to Spain, London, I mean, throughout the country, and getting the pictures of the children holding the awards and the moms, mom and dads telling us how they feel about them, to me, it's great. I mean, knowing that they know that somebody is working. I mean, we have a lot of significant doctors in this world who are aware of autoinflammatory diseases and doing their thing and working on it. And I'm just glad that they know that somebody is working for them. This happens to be the first foundation to cover all childhood autoinflammatory diseases. And it gives them the hope that they deserve to have. I've said from day one, I will never give them anything but true hope. And so that's why everything that I do will make a difference. The money that the donations that are given, some people laugh because I am very strict on where the money goes to, and whether it's to build up something on the public side or the research. But it's going to make a difference for these children. And so in this year, that's what we've covered. And then I have my three things that I would like to share. drum roll. And I'll start with, and they're not in a category, but I think I'm going to leave the monumental one for the last. But I thought it was essential to develop. A lot of these families have need financial help. Brody's drug was costing $3,000 a month. I mean, these off-label drugs are astronomical, and the insurance companies, that's another interview. Put them down. However, it's another interview. So I'm developing the True Hope Fund, and people who donate to that, and I will make sure that it's done properly. Basically, it's going to help the families financially with travel, medical bills, and the treatment. I think it's very important. I know that myself and some of my neighbors and a part of Cade had actually helped a family this Christmas because they couldn't afford for some gifts and something. So I did do that. And it's important because so much money goes into the, you know, the cost of taking care of the disease and the child. So it's important to have that. So that's one of the things that I am starting for 2012. That's, you know, these are things that are also going to be talked about at the gala. And at the gala, I will be showing the next two projects. And everybody has gotten a little sniff with my next one. And it's called La Findicade. And La Findicade is the end of Cade in French. And I developed perfume. Everybody who was invited to the gala, did it formally because the RSVP stock card, it has the scent on it. And I developed the perfume because I wanted to appeal to the masses, as you know, and give back. I mean, there's so many wonderful charities out there, and there's so many people who are affected with illnesses within their own family that are not Cade, and I get it. I really do. And I wanted to create something that was going to be able to give to the person who wanted to help, as well as knowing that 100%, none of it's going back to me. It's not Lisa Marino Dickinson. It's Stop Cade Now to go back, and it's going to go into research. I also was two things. We need too much funding.
Lisa, let me just stop you for a second because you're talking about the gala, and I do want to mention it, that is going to be taking place on February the 25th, and that is at the Ritz-Carlton in Philadelphia. Are there still tickets available for that, by the way?
There are still tickets available. Yes, there are. It's $300
a ticket. I'm going to post that link inside the chat room and also post that link on my Facebook page for those of you that are interested in going. Go ahead, Lisa. I'm sorry.
No, yes, great. And the entertainment is pretty incredible, I'll tell you that. And the gala on the side, I will tell you, there is no tables. It's all white leather sofas. It's very sleek and chic, but black tie. So it is going to be very different, but as you can tell with how I work, everything is a little bit outside the box.
Yes.
A little different. So with the perfume, I also, with the funding that we need, I couldn't afford, and this is not to take away, trust me, because hers and Sip and Syrup, they're going to be putting our names on their product and giving us a percentage. And, you know, when we get percentage of something, every dollar matters. It really does. It does matter. But I wanted to not take 5 or 10% of a product that was already out there. So that's why I created my own. I literally was in a lab. And I got to tell you, I've said before, I mean, it's a very personal thing. And not one person, and I'm surprised, because it's not going to appeal to everybody, I'm sure. I'm sure some people aren't going to be, you know, I like it. But not one person has said it. I mean, they love it. So it's I'm thrilled about that. Also wanted to think about what could I attach to our organization card that would draw attention. And when, you know, mothers, fathers, I mean, you're out in the grocery store, if you run into and I'm wearing a shirt, fine, that brings awareness. But if I give you my business card, organization card, the likelihood of you looking at it again is slim to none. I mean, you might because you're emptying out your purse or the grocery list or what have you. But if I have the vial of perfume on it, you're either going to say, who is this woman who created perfume for organization? Go to the website, and there we created awareness. If they like the perfume, then it's like, okay, now we have awareness, and now we have funding.
And you know, and you know, I told you yesterday when we talked a little bit about the show tonight, that I just thought that that was a great idea. I mean, you can imagine the amount of events and things that I get invited to as a journalist, and this would really, and I thought about it again, would be the first time that I would have seen a perfume through a nonprofit. So I just think it's a great idea. I really, really do.
Thank you. Thank you. The unveiling, you'll see the everybody who goes to the gala, it's the first time that you can purchase the perfume, and there will be an unveiling of it. And then somebody's doing something a little significant for it. So that's the story behind La Findicade. I did have a few of our board members with me that day who all had different tastes. So it was created, and we're going through the process, and so it's very exciting. I'm glad to have something that I'm able to give to the community that they will enjoy, mm-hmm. and knowing that 100% is going towards the projects of helping with the research.
Yes.
Now,
yes,
the last,
I definitely agree with you.
So then the last thing that I would like to announce, and then I would
wait,
also
before
like
you
to
say that, wait, Lisa, before you say that, I feel like I need to do a special effect, so I'm going to do some clapping to this thing.
Was that the 6,000
okay,
people listening?
Now you can say
actually,
it.
I can say it. Okay. This is actually with developing the continued medical education for the doctors. Some people know that I am called. I mean, literally, don't have a 9-to-5 job. I mean, I could get calls throughout 4 o'clock in the morning. And parents overseas, parents have. A hard time when they are at the hospital or knowing what to do. So there's a big, big demand on having research and the information at hand. And my international advisor really came up with the idea of doing this and has really done so much. Actually, both my international advisor and advocate and one of my medical doctors have really helped out. I developed and partnered, and we have the first ever universal application for an iPhone and an iPad. It's a device, and it's a slick user interface. It is not as detailed as a continued medical education, and it's not as in layman's terms that you would find at the website. It's what I wanted to do with keeping up with our times. And you know, nobody really deals with anything but iPhones these days. I mean, I even had to ask about the tweeting and all that stuff. I mean, I really don't know that mm-hmm. I was up to the times until I started the foundation. But the app is something that's very important for the medical field as well as for the families. If you're diagnosed with one of these diseases and you're in the hospital and the doctor doesn't know, you have the app on the phone, or they have the app, and they can see there the diseases that are on there, the pictures, the latest research that's being done. If the doctor doesn't know where to send them, they'll know where to send them. It's going to be very easy to use. And I did this because, just like the same thing, I really am very careful where we spend our money, and I want the money to make a difference. And, and this is not to take away from any foundation that does the brochures or has paper. That's great. However, with the diseases that I cover, they change. I mean, you know how medicine changes daily. Doctors
absolutely,
leave.
Absolutely, yeah.
I mean, it's just, so I didn't want to spend the money on something that was going to be thrown away. So this is something that is going to be after touch, very educational, very user-friendly. And also, the greatest thing is I own it, and I can update it. You can donate mm-hmm. on the website, on the app. So it's going to create a lot. It's surprising to me that it hasn't been done yet, and I do hope that this encourages other foundations to kind of get into the technology world.
Well, and one of those, and we did a show on this, I want to say maybe 6 or 7 months ago. We always do shows from time to time on technology, and mm-hmm. One of my friends who used to work for the Food Network, and he has his own public and media relations company called On the Mark Media. He was basically talking about how every single nonprofit in America, there are sort of five things that nonprofits as well as businesses need to have. when it comes to technology. And, of course, one was that you need a Facebook page and, you know, to get your message out there, Twitter. But the other one was that you need to invest in, having your own app on iPad and for the iPhone. So when we had that conversation, I was very, very excited to hear that because, like you said, now, you know, I don't know what the exact numbers are, but there are more people who are, you know, who are on their iPhones and iPads and their mobile devices, as they call them, than even now on your regular laptop or computer. And, you know, to be able to actually donate and give through that app, I mean, that's really big. So I was very happy when you told me about that. It really kind of bumps you up to that next level.
Thank you. Yeah, I mean, I know it's very hard for me to, from the outside, when people say things looking in, you know, I'm too busy doing what I'm doing to really acknowledge, but I will tell you that when we signed the contract and dealing with them, I had reached out to the guy who actually owns and started the Facebook apps and the Twitter apps and something. I will tell you, I pretty much, and I can say it on air, I'm okay with saying it, I screamed in the car. I was so excited for the families and for the doctors. I mean, it's big. It's big. I needed it. I needed it 3 years ago to be able to show the physicians or to be able to understand it. It really is a necessity. And the doctors who know about it, I will tell you, you don't see many doctors drop their jaws. I will say that I had a few doctors drop their jaws, which I think was a compliment without saying anything. So I hope the families are very excited. I hope that, you know, I know recently some people have made some comments about, you know, now they're going to be, you know, charging for medical research and all this. Well, it's a one-time $9.99, I think, to buy the app, and then you get all the information that you want. So it's
You know, at the end of the day, you know, all of it, which is what we're talking about in this conversation about, you know, to stop this auto-inflammatory disease, it's all going for a good cause. I do have a question. I want to thank, we've got folks inside our chat room that are listening. We've got guests, Catherine Taddy, one of my regular listeners is there. Sandy is also listening. Sandy has a question, and I may not get the first part of it, Sandy, but she wanted to know about with any of these autoimmune diseases, inflammatory diseases, I'm sorry, does any of them prevent type of nerve damage?
Yes, it does. No, prevent or cause?
Cause nerve damage.
Yes, it does. Well, I mean, with covering 29 diseases, you're going to have different diseases that some overlap each other, and then some are individually, obviously, with their own symptoms and the way they attack the body. But absolutely, Brody's nerve damage. I mean, when you talk about the doctors that are involved, it goes on and on and on. So there is no limit to how the inflammation, it doesn't stop, at least with Brody's disease and some of the other diseases, and I'd say a good handful. When the inflammation goes throughout the body, it does attack the tissues, it does attack the organs and the nerves. People who know, and I've said this before, with this, and tell me if I'm answering her question, I look at the target as being Kate, and everybody knows I'm focused on shutting off the inflammation process and all the disease. If I got into the scientific aspect of it or medical, it's NF-kappa-Bs, Tregs. I mean, I can go on and on because it's the innate immune system versus the adaptive. The adaptive is the immune system. I know long-term inflammation causes cancer. And Brody is already prone to lymphoma because he has silica in his granulomas. And then the drugs, and I'm very careful of saying this because I don't know who's listening, and it's not that I don't tell the families everything, but, you know, it's a double-edged sword with these drugs. And a lot of the drugs do cause cancer, so they're even at a higher risk with it.
Right.
And I know that with what I'm doing, and really focused on. I think that the inflammation in the brain, there's nerve damage in the brain that causes these extreme headaches. I think that there's the nerve damage behind the eyes. It causes a lot of issues with the visual, and it's not the optical. It's not really the eyes. It's the nerve damage behind the eyes. I think that the inflammation in the brain, there's a link to autism. Mm-hmm. But, I mean, so what I'm doing, I'm really, really hoping that the main focus I know will be accomplished. However, that I hope the dwindling effect will help many other causes, because I am, as you know, I'm not blind to anybody that needs a hand, and I'm hoping to help as many people as I can.
No, I certainly know that. Wow. And Catherine, Taddy has a question too. She wants to know the auto-inflammatory disease. Do you think that it's becoming more prevalent today? And also, do you believe that there is a cause or a link between the environment that we live in and that kids are living in today? Good question.
Yeah. It is a very, very good question. And I'll tell you that since becoming talking to the physicians, they've talked to me less as a mom and more as an advocate and a president of Stopcade. Now, I hate to say this, the answer is unknown. My personal opinion is that when you have a genetic disease or a deranged immune system, and you have something environmental that attacks it, the combination of the two. I think that if you took you and myself and put us under a PET scan, you're going to find something, but does it necessarily mean that we're going to develop it or that we have to go after it? No. But you could have two people with lupus, which is an autoimmune disease, and put them in two different areas, Arizona and Washington, D.C., and if they're sisters, and one could develop the full-blown systemic lupus because of an environmental factor. So I think it's a lot of what's being done in research. And the reason why I didn't do a foundation just for Brody, not only knowing that I could help many others with what I'm doing, but because you could call it Blau syndrome, you could call it fancy face. I don't care what you call it, the mechanism and to turn it off. If I can turn it off in his disease, then I want to turn it off in all the diseases. And that's my focus. So I don't really even focus on the specifics as much as I do on the overall picture. But it's a great question. I do believe that it is in the last, I don't know, it seems like there's been more talk about the autoinflammatory diseases in the last since I've started. But when you're so involved in it, I think it becomes, you know, that you're hearing it more. I will say when I was at one of the top hospitals and with my older son, she said one time he either has such and such, or CADE. And I was surprised because I coined CADE. So it was actually nice to hear them use CADE as a classification. But to answer her question, which is a good one, I don't think that there is an answer. But I do think that when you have a genetic or a impaired immune function, and that's exacerbated by an environmental agent, then it could cause more of these auto-inflammatory issues.
Yeah,
but Brody's being genetic, I would say that's strictly genetic.
Yeah, it certainly does seem that way, and I think also in today's age, we are hearing more and more, and even people like myself, we report more and more about how there is a link between the environment and sort of what we eat and where we live to ailments, that affect us, around the world. So, and Catherine actually mentioned inside a chat room that her sister has lupus. So there's a conversation in the chat room about, kids and fevers. And Catherine talked about that she worked in special education and she saw a lot of kids that had allergies and had big troubles learning as a result of the different allergies and environmental factors. So, yeah, I think you're right. I mean, all of that certainly does play an important part. Lisa, I promise I was only going to keep you for 30 minutes, so we've got about five more minutes left. So you
okay.
keep I don't want you to go away and not talk about everything that we needed to. So we talked about the app. We talked about the book. We talked a little bit about the event taking place. So anything else we need to talk about?
Well, I would like to say, mention the people who are involved, some of the promoters and my spokesperson, who is Michael Quick, who is, you know, the five-time Pro Bowler for the Eagles, who's been a great part of Stopcade now. Kimmy Crawford, who's Miss Teen USA from 2010. Lisa Ling, who's a great supporter, and you'll be hearing from her with the next 2 weeks. Marshall Mathers, most people know him as Eminem. He's one of our promoters, good person, really cares about the kids. Dietra from the Housewives, from Mob Wives, is a supporter and most likely will be seen soon. Michael Seneca with ARCA and NASCAR is a very great supporter and doing some stuff for Stopcade now. And Alex Tagliani, who's one of the top Indy 500s drivers, is a supporter of Stopcade now. So we've had a good feedback and support and people who wanted to help and promote the cause. And my five-year plan, which most people know and some people don't, is to have a wing at the hospital for Kate where all the children can come to at one local spot and be able to be taken care of. I do write for Parents Society, parentssociety.com. I write blogs for them on issues that are related to illnesses as well as those who give back. And I do sit on the board of the Global Genes Project. So that's globalgenesproject.org, and they cover all rare diseases. So full steam ahead.
Busy.
Yeah, and, you know, I would say that anybody knows that when I start talking about the kids, I mean, if you can get and see some of the videos that I passed along your way, I got to tell you, you're talking about kids starting at 2 years old and younger, like my son Brody, who is starting out using these medications and are dealing with this pain. There's no reason that they should be dealing with it. So everybody who, you know, spreads the awareness, donates, I appreciate coming from the president, the founder, the mom of two amazing boys. Thank you. Thank you for the opportunity, Victoria, for even having me on to even, you know, tell about these exciting projects.
I know. I still, you know, it's interesting because still to this day, Lisa, I have no idea who suggested you, how we ended up being friends on Facebook. I cannot tell you.
I think I just liked your smile.
Yeah. If somebody came to me and tried to kill me and said, how did it happen, I would end up dying because I have no idea. I'm glad that it happened, and I'm excited. And Michael Kay and I are definitely planning on making the February the 25th event in Philly.
Yay.
Yeah, so I can come there in person and just simply congratulate you. But, you know, one thing that I have learned in my 18 years, and as I continue to be in the television news business and podcast and radio business and all that good stuff, everybody needs a voice, and everybody needs somebody to be an advocate for them, whether it's, you know, for children, for the elderly, or, you know, for whatever cause that it is that you need. You know, you always have to have somebody who has that passion, that fire in their belly like you have, who really is going to be out there fighting for the kids. So I just, you know, applaud you because I know sometimes when you decide to take that road, I can imagine it's not always the easy road, and not only with, you know, dealing with you, that you're the founder and you started this, you know, you literally at the end of the day, you've got to take care of Brody. I mean, you have a child who suffered from this. So, you know, so all of that stuff is great, and I love what you're doing. But basically, at the end of the day, when your kid is sick and you and your husband have to give him those shots and poke him with those needles, he's looking at mom, period. You know?
Right. You're absolutely right. I mean, you know, that's why I say the days don't stop. I mean, I sometimes still get about 3 hours a night of sleep or we go back and forth with because the I knew it was going to happen, but the medication's not working as well. So you're absolutely right, and I appreciate you understanding that. But And then the drive, as you know, the drive is Brody. I made my promise to him.
Yeah.
And when I made my promise to him, all the families know. I mean, there's just not one child who's in pain, or one person that I would not help. And I know that Brody would be just okay with that, for me giving the amount of time that I do. And we'll have good things to come, you know.
Absolutely.
I know with everything that we're doing, I don't know how much more we could do, but if there is, I'll find it. and with the support of everybody else, it's great. I mean, I can do a lot of things on my own, but without the support of everybody else, it won't get done.
Right.
So, but thank you so much. And I'm so glad you're coming. It really is going to be a different event, comedians, a red carpet fashion show, and Chance is our host, and he's phenomenal. A couple of real well knowns are going to be there, and I'm going to have something up on Facebook in the next 2 weeks
for people to
kind of clue in. So, and then, you know, as you noted, www.stopcaidnow.org is my website. And on Facebook, I have Stop Childhood Autoinflammatory Diseases, and I also have Stop Childhood Autoinflammatory Diseases International. My LinkedIn account is Lisa Moreno Dickinson, Moreno Dickinson. And then Twitter is StopCadeNow. I don't tweet much, but be free to tweet me and follow me. I'm sure I'll get into it when I have a moment.
Yeah, I was gonna say we forgive you and we excuse you for whole tweeting part, because you kind of have your hands full. So I think we can forgive you for that one. But I just liked your Stop Childhood Autoinflammatory Diseases on Facebook. I forgot that page was there. So all of your information, guys, I'm gonna have on my Facebook page. Don't forget, whenever our show is over. Lisa, I don't know if you know, but we are actually on iTunes, so you can download this show as a free podcast, and that information will be out there, forever and forever. But Lisa, I love you. God bless you, and I look forward to seeing you in February. Yeah, in fact, you can take this interview tonight and put it on your website, which I think is great, because you really explain so much information, and it's information that I definitely just think that people really, really need to know. So God bless you, and I look forward to seeing you in February.
You too. Thanks
so
much, guys.
I really
appreciate it. Thanks, Victoria. Thanks, everybody. Bye-bye.
Okay. Good night. And everyone, that was Lisa Moreno Dickerson. She was joining us. Interesting, because her career, she was in the police department, which I think is so cool. So to see her face and to know that her job was in the police department, you'd think, holy smokes, because, you know, Lisa completely looks like a model to me, for sure. But, you know, find her on Facebook and just make sure you kind of keep up with whatever it is that she's doing. You know, if you're not able to attend the February event, that's okay. Information is power. You know, the mere fact that all of you guys all over the U.S. and our friends in London listen to the show tonight, perhaps this is, you know, a little bit more education to stick in your arsenal of information. So if the conversation ever comes up, or if this is information that you need to tell other people, at least, you know, the listeners and supporters and fans of At Home with Victoria will have this information. Like I said, Lisa is very, very, very friendly, so you can find her on Facebook, and all of her links are on my page as well as on the Blog Talk Radio page. And also, what's interesting that we didn't really get a chance to talk about, Lisa sent me some wonderful videos with some of the kids in them. So what I am going to do is I'm actually going to post a couple of the videos on my Blog Talk Radio page. I've got a couple of boxes on there where I can sort of highlight different things. So I think I'm going to highlight her and put some of the videos of the kids on there. So if you don't get a chance to watch now, I'll keep them up there for a couple of months, and also we'll put some information up there about the gala taking place in February for those of you that are interested. So here's the deal. Even if you don't live in Philadelphia or nowhere here on the East Coast, you can visit the gala and you want to make a donation. You know, you can make a small donation, any amount. I'm sure Lisa and the organization will be very, very happy with. But again, the gala is actually its first white carpet black tie fundraising event taking place February the 25th, 2012 at the Ritz-Carlton in Philadelphia. There's going to be so many different types of entertainment there, and I just hope that, like I said, if you guys can't make it, Michael Kay and I plan to attend, so we'll make sure we take lots of pictures and post the pictures to Facebook, and I'm sure Lisa's going to have the pictures on all of her websites and information as well. But I want to thank Catherine, who was with us tonight inside the chat room. Sandy was with us tonight also. We've had some guests inside the chat room. Best wishes to Michael Kay. He had a little tummy ache tonight. Our entertainment co-host, Michael Kay, had a tummy ache, so we want to hope that he will actually feel better. So Sandy and Catherine, guys, thank you so much. And I think Michael and I are actually back on the air next week, and we're going to continue to talk about Lisa's event. Again, don't forget the website is www.stopcaidnow.org. Or I like what I did too. I just went to Google and I actually typed in auto inflammatory disease, and her website and the link actually came up, so you're more than welcome to do that. Or if you got any other questions or anything, hey, feel free to email me or feel free to email Lisa on Facebook, and again, you'll find all of her information that's going to be posted on my wall. Don't forget, you can download the show as a podcast on iTunes, and I want to thank all of you guys for taking the time to listen tonight. Again, Michael Kay and I will be back on the air next week. Drew Stevens is actually one of our favorite band members and artists who was on one of the reality shows. He and my call-up are in Tennessee, I think, or in Nashville. In fact, Drew Stevens will be a great person for Lisa for one of her upcoming events. I've got to make sure those two connect because he's right down in D.C., and he'd be wonderful in terms of a concert. So I've got to connect the two. But we're going to leave with one of our Drew songs.
You got what I need. A kiss is so loud that it burst into steam. I'm so happy now, whatever that means. So take a ride with me. Feeling so right. My car ain't special, but it's warm inside. It's a perfect night to go for a drive and check out the city lights. Yeah.
You have been listening to At Home with Victoria, a popular news and entertainment show on the Blog Talk Radio Network. Plus, download the show on iTunes as a free podcast and like us on Facebook. Tune in again next time for At Home with Victoria with your host, Victoria Gaither.